Lord, I just thank you for giving us the time together on this wonderful invention, the internet. Lord, I thank you that we can come together and we can worship and fellowship together, and just like a regular church, and even though we're thousands of miles apart in some instances. And Father, I just praise you for this avenue that you've allowed us to use. Lord, let tonight be just nothing but you. And I ask, Father, that you lead and guide each one of us tonight to only speak what you want us to speak. And I know we have a lot of fun, Lord, and that's a good thing. And I also know, Lord, that we learn during this fellowship hour, a couple hours here. And Lord, I just ask and I pray that you lead and direct each one of us, Father. In Jesus' name, I ask that you anoint each one of us to give what you ask us to do, Lord. Testimonies. When we pray, Lord, we know our prayers are answered. We just know it. That's just the faith that you've given us, Lord. And I praise you and I glorify you for all that's going to be accomplished tonight. I'm pumped. I love it, Lord, when we come together, because I know you're the one that's in charge. We don't have to worry about anything. Everything just falls into place because the Holy Spirit is the one that guides each one of us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. One time, a group of men were having coffee. And Ernest Hemingway was one of them as a young man. And they bet him $10 that he couldn't write a short story in 6 words. And he took them up on it. He was a brilliant man with words. And he took a pencil and he wrote it down on a napkin. 6 words. 6 words. For sale, baby shoes never worn. Think about that. For sale, baby shoes never worn. You see the implications there? You see the story that come out of that? You can shake your head yes or no. You know, and there's all kinds of other 6-word things that in this little ditty that I saw that this preacher was talking about, but that was the one that really hit me, you know. For sale, baby shoes, never worn. In other words, the baby didn't make it. Okay. Does anybody need prayer? I can't hear you, Leon. You're muted.
Those babies need prayer.
Huh?
Those babies need prayer. The ones that
go ahead, brother. Go ahead. We'll believe with you.
Well, Lord God, I lift up that abortion, those 3 new bills in Virginia and New York and New Mexico. They've all passed bills to abort babies, even to kill them after they're born. If they're born alive, they want to kill them then. I pray for those babies, Lord God, that they would not be able to do that. I pray that the Supreme Court would overturn this and stop them from killing babies at all. But if they don't stop that, stop it in the last trimester, Lord God, and redeem those children, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, Pat.
Yeah, I'd like just to continue that prayer. Father, as I listen to that prayer and that condition, Lord, I think of what must be the condition of the society and the people that have allowed that to transpire, that there is no voice of uprising in that area or even in the nation, Lord. I mean, we've heard ripples through various different people, maybe various different congressmen or whatever, but for the most part, society seems to be quiet or accepting of this situation, Lord. I would just pray tonight, Lord, that you would create a division, that you would, I know that your word, you say in your word that your word is alive and living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, separating even the soul and the spirit, allowing us to see the cause and effect, the soul and the spirit, between the joints and the marrow. Lord, your word is powerful to discern and to the intents of the heart, the wickedness of the heart that would be revealed to us. Your word is able to bring that out and allow us to see it, even as it functions within ourselves. And Lord, I just pray that you would, I ask that you would send your word in a mighty fashion through these states in particular, New York, Virginia, and the other one I don't remember, but Lord, that you would start to raise an awareness of the evilness that is resting in society and that is permeating society and taking us over, trying to overcome us one by one. Lord, I pray that you would raise up a people, raise up the awareness in society of the good and the bad, the evil as it's rising up, and allow people to understand that, to get their head out of the newspapers or the movies or TV or whatever, and start to think about these things, Lord. Just pray that you would raise your spirit, raise us up, Lord, to be able to lift that standard of your word and your truth, to raise our head above the fray, and to walk in the strength and the power of your word and the power of your spirit, Lord. We thank you for that. Thank you for our president, Lord, that has taken a stand, that has held up the banner, that is forcefully speaking out in contrast of this wickedness that is permeating our society, and in this partial birth abortion and this late term abortion scenario, Lord, that he's raised the flag. Let people understand and see with new eyes, and see and raise up the consciousness that needs to happen in this nation, Lord, that people can't be won by arguments and mind tricks. It has to raise up within their heart a sense of good and bad. It has to be an awareness raiser, Lord. So we pray for your spirit. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us for not standing in the gap the way we need to. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us and to fill us with your spirit and your power and your life. Bring us into this awareness, Lord. Bring us into the gap. Raise us up to do your work, Lord. To do your work. Fill us with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill us with your power. Fill us with your word. And we thank you for it, Lord. We willingly stand against the evil wickedness that is running rampant in this world today. We ask you to enliven us with the tools and the power of your Spirit to do so. We thank you for it. We thank you for your victory that is won, Lord. We thank you for your truth that puts down and tears down and takes down the very lies that the devil stands on and that his kingdom of darkness rests on. We praise you, Lord. We praise you and thank you for the tools that we need to do this work, the confidence in your salvation, the life that you've given us. So we just thank you for it. We praise you for it, and we lift you up. We look to you. Our eyes are upon you to lead us in this battle, and we thank you for the victory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let me see. Go ahead, Wade.
About 20 minutes to 7 tonight, my chair caved in on me while I was sitting in it. My right hand, my left hand, and my left elbow were took a heavy shock in catching my body weight. And then my backside, bottom backside took a fall too, took a blow too. I'm praying for that none of it be serious like my hand was in the past. Also, I need a new chair. that chair is okay. Gone.
All right, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you put faith in Wade to believe that there ain't nothing wrong with him. I don't care what chair broke down. There's nothing wrong with his hand, his back, any other part of his body in the name of Jesus, because he's a man of faith and he believes that he is under the blood of Jesus and he don't have to worry about it. And Lord, I thank you that he needs a new chair. And I just believe, Lord, that if he has faith to believe that, there's a new one fixing to show up at his doorstep.
Amen.
And Lord, I thank you for it. Jesus, one that'll hold him and anybody else who wants to get in there with him. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank Amen. You. Amen. All right, brother.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bless you. I see somebody with their hand up. Let's see, who is that? Go ahead, Sue.
Well, what I'm going to pray is not really a laughing matter because it's about the babies again.
Go ahead.
I just pray, Father, that you would reveal to these women, Father, that are pregnant and are struggling with the pregnancy like they don't want it, Lord. Help them to see that this is not that's of the enemy. It's not of you, because you bless them with that child in their womb. And whether they've brought that child in the womb through sin or not, doesn't matter. You're the one that gives life, Lord. So just work on all the women's hearts, even those that have, even if they've been raped, Lord, just work on their hearts to say that this child has a right to live, and just like they have a right to live, Lord. There's no one to speak for them. So Lord, help these women to see that they can't go through with these abortions, because it's evil, it's murder, Lord. Show them. Just give them visions, dreams, whatever you need to do to show them that this is so evil, Father, to have this happen to this little child. And would they want that to happen to themselves? So, Lord, just work on all the women's hearts, Lord, and that they would not allow this to happen, that they would recognize it is murder, and that even the government would recognize that this is murder, and even premeditated murder, that they would not allow this to happen anymore in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Father. Go ahead, Leon.
The original Supreme Court ruling of whatever the name of it was, Roe versus Wade or something like that. The original Supreme Court ruling that allowed abortion, They gave the Republicans an out. They said that if they could prove that the fetus was a living being, then they could stop the abortion. They could make a pass a law and stop the abortion. But no one, I mean, science has proven that that's a living being. It's not just a glob, blob, or just a fetus. It's a living human being, and they've proven that, and the Congress still refuses to do to make that law. And we should petition our senators and representatives to do that, because that's doesn't have to be a big ordeal. It just has to be a law that's passed that said that's a living or a living being, and it'll go through.
Well, I suspect if you go back and look, Planned Parenthood's got them on their roll. I don't know. Got them in their checkbook.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Planned Parenthood is a big seller of baby parts. That is absolutely atrocious and evil.
They make a $1.2 billion other than what they get from the government.
Yeah.
A year.
Amen.
I also wanted to say that I know that there's about six other states that are considering one of those infanticide bills, and it may be even more, up to a dozen that are considering that. So we should pray against that too. Lord, I just come against that, Lord God. There shouldn't be any more bills in that regard. And Lord, I pray that you would change the hearts of the legislators that are trying to do this, Lord God, and just give them a conscience to know that that's a living being, and they shouldn't do this. That would be infanticide, Lord. And just stop it, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I don't understand that at all. Go ahead, Willie.
I'm thinking in Luke when Christ was coming down into Israel, you know, riding on the donkey. And he said he wept over the city, you know, because they knew not the day of their visitation and how it would be surrounded and closed in on every side. And out of nowhere, you know, the Lord just thought, I can't say if it's the Lord, but I'm going to explain everything the way, you know, it's in, you know, Virginia and New York passed this abortion thing, right? And the Lord said, you know, they did not know the day of their visitation. He said, you know, the Virgin Mary knew the day of his visitation, of her visitation. And she said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. And, you know, and so, but Virginia did. He was kind of comparing, you know, the word virgin in Virginia. And he says, you know, Israel is the apple of my eye. New York is called the Big Apple. But here they are doing the most scornful thing that you could do, you know, against God. And this is a kind of like a smack in God's face kind of move. They picked Virginia, and they picked New York, which is called the apple of the eye. Virginia representing the Virgin Mary, and New York representing the children of Israel. And this is the way he was kind of showing me, you know. And he said, you know, this is going to be a judgment for Virginia, because they knew not the day of their visitation. They should never. You know, they should never have considered, you know, what they have done, you know. And then you're gonna pick, you know, one, a building with a spire that reaches up to heaven, you know, to light it up pink. You know, the same spire that you use to welcome in your drunken New Year's party, where the ball always drops, you know, which to me kind of represents something coming down heaven, you know. That's how I look at that thing, you know, Satan falling from heaven, or the seed of Satan, you know, coming down upon all mankind. And that's about as plain as I can explain when I read that, when Christ was coming into England. He said, you know, when he said Christ, when Christ said they will not know the day of their visitation, immediately I got abortion. And I was like, wow, interesting. It is not going to float well with Virginia or New York. I really feel that some sudden judgment is going to be for Virginia and New York, and it's not going to be pleasant. You know, just is. I don't know why that came to me from just reading that in the book of Luke. I wasn't thinking about, you know, that law or anything like that. You know, Lord just said, you know, abortion. You know, they've been aborted because they knew not the day nor the hour. And then they just went, you know, Virginia and New York. You know, it's like, wow, you know. You know, you got somebody finally in the presidency saying, you know, this is wrong. They refuse to receive it. You know, okay, you know, not the day or the hour of your visitation. And there's going to be it felt like the judgment was going to be swift. It felt like the judgment was going to be in 1 hour. And I know that sounds strange. And I thought to myself, I said, well, Lord, how long did it take to abort a child? You know, an actual child, you know. And I'm not trying to be gruesome or anything. I'm like, does that work it out? You know, because you got to make sure, you know, I listened to a doctor who performed, you know, these things, and he said, you got to make sure everything's moved, everything, like, you know, so that the, you know, mother won't, you know, be poisoned from anything that's left over in the body. And I was just like, man, that's crazy. I don't know, whatever you guys think about it, or if you've gotten something like that, or, I just feel like, you know, Virginia and New York is in for, you know, something not good. In the sense that, you know, Christ wept over the city. You know, it's not going to be good. But that's all I got. So.
Go ahead, Joe.
Well, now that I think about it, that does make sense with New York, Willie, because what we believe New York City is a type of Babylon. So there's a lot of wickedness there. So that's interesting in you. I never thought about that with the ball dropping on New Year's Eve. So, yeah, makes sense. I can see that. So, and well, I'd like to pray against something. I was watching a documentary, simply, you know, a very interesting documentary about abortion earlier this weekend. And, you know, I think I'm pretty well convinced, and I've heard it before, that it's like a modern day child sacrifice, what the Canaanites did and others, you know. And interesting, you know, this author, he was a former, I think he was a believer, former abortionist. I forget what his role was, but then, you know, he woke up and realized how grave his sin was. And so he, you know, he's, his ministry, I guess, or his, you know, whatever organization is, you know, campaigns against it. But he said, you know, it was, you know, I guess the only real difference between us and the, you know, the Canaanites and those in the Old Testament who used to, you know, sacrifice their children to Molech or Baal, you know, I mean, they made a proper burial. Because I mean, it's interesting, if you look at the Romans, when they defeated the Carthaginians, you know, the city of Carthage, they said that they basically salted the lands over, I mean, you know, numerous times, because they found like tombs, you know, sepulchres of like children that they sacrificed. So they would bury and, you know, I guess commemorate their children that they sacrificed to their gods, you know, their demon gods. You know, the gentleman said, at least those people buried and sacrificed, you know, all we do is, you know, throw the child out in the bag in the dumpster in the back of an abortion clinic. You know, we don't even give them a proper burial, is basically what he was saying. So I think I want to pray against this. You know, ultimately it's actually, you know, Satan behind this. You know, of course we know it's, I mean, and he went into detail how witches, you know, witches believe it's their right. You know, this kind of stems into the left with feminism and all that stuff. He was tying this all together, and how ultimately a lot of witches, you know, they pray over these abortion clinics. They bless, you know, whatever, you know, these abortion clinics, they, you know, to, you know, because they believe it's their right. Abortion is a right of theirs. It's a privilege, as I guess some of these former, you know, they were pulling excerpts, you know, books and stuff, you know, from these witches.
Joe, let me stop you just a minute. Let's not go into all that detail about abortion, if you don't mind.
Sorry.
Let's just pray against it and believe for it. You know, I understand where you're coming from, but it's even getting me down.
No, I understand. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's okay. Go ahead and pray if you'd like.
Father God, we just come against all this Baal worship, ultimately. This worship of you know, sacrifice to Baal. We come against every witch and every coven in the area of New York and Virginia, but even nationally, Lord. We come against these things, you know, and we ask that you would just create ultimate chaos and confusion and just utter destruction in the camp of these covens, these witches' covens, these circles, Lord God, that they would not know how to operate to see this law, these laws, but see these things, you know, come to fruition. Okay, they're, you know, they're in their early stages, Lord, you know, but we ask that, Lord, you'd bring judgment upon these witches' covens, you know, for those who will not repent. We ask for repentance, most of all. You know, we ask for repentance and salvation, and any abortionist who performs this infanticide. But we ask, Lord, most of all, that, you know, if there is no repentance, Lord, you know, for those who are not part of your chosen, we ask that you would deal with them, Lord. You know, like as Willie said, yeah, this is not good. This has crossed the line. It is like, you know, it shouldn't have been crossed, Lord. So we ask, Lord, for repentance, most of all. We ask that you would just convict them, bring them to a repentance. If there's no repentance, Lord, deal with them. You know, however you see fit, Lord, we leave it up to you. We thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do here. We thank you for the, you know, we believe the lives that will be saved ultimately. But we come against all this witchcraft, all this child sacrifice to Baal, to Molech, whoever. You know, it's ultimately to Satan. We come against all that, and we just render it null and void in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I think I mentioned this last week, but Sandy had four dreams just alike of New York City going up in flames from a volcano, people falling off into a volcano. Four times she had this dream, and there's a lot more to it, but I just wanted to bring that out. And that there was an earthquake that went all the way down the East Coast. It wouldn't surprise me if it didn't sink Virginia. You know, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But anyway, thank you, Joe. Yep, we need to be aware of that kind of stuff. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Sharon, go ahead.
That's all I have to say. I'll just keep praying for our country that they come down on those doctors and close them all. It's bad.
Amen. Do you know how to mute and unmute yourself?
Well, they said hit the keyboard. I mean, hit that. What do you call it? That microphone.
I got you. Yeah, I got you. Just remember when you want to talk, I have to unmute you before you start talking. Yeah, we got about half of what you said, but we understood what you said, what you were talking about, though. Praise God. Yeah, thank you. All right, somebody else raised their hand. Who was that? Is that you, Don? Hey, Don. Go ahead, brother.
Hey, a few days ago, I went on the whitehouse.gov. I'd never done that before. And I was just looking through the various parts of it. And I found a huge article by Trump's, one of his daughters, Ivanka. And she's really pushing women to get into the workforce. It's going to bring our economy into great things. Huge article. And just the spirit of it, of that article, says pro-abortion, I believe. So long. You just scroll through that. It's a very long thing. Pictures, then more printing, more pictures, more printing, on and on and on.
Well, I don't know about her, but I know Donald Trump is not, he's against abortion. He's come out publicly against it.
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
Yeah, I don't know about his daughters. They might be. Go ahead, Leon.
Yeah.
She's a Democrat, and her husband's a Democrat as well.
So. Okay. Are you trying to say it's a Democrat that's done it? Absolutely. I do know this. Good news. Here's some good news. I know that Arkansas is, and I believe Tennessee also is coming up with an anti-abortion bill in the state, which will be good. I think Tennessee and Arkansas have already got them going, and I'm sure there's other ones out there as well. Go ahead, Leah.
Tennessee tried to pass a bill a couple of years ago to put some restraint on abortion, because we do abortions. We're one of the ones in this area that do it, and not everybody from other states flock here to have abortions. But there was a bill a couple of, probably about 4 or 5 years ago that they tried to restrain it, and the Tennessee Supreme Court knocked that down. So that's going to be your problem, is if they get a bill passed, it still has to be challenged and go through the Supreme Court of Tennessee. And that's loaded with Democrats.
Well, yeah, I understand that. But you gave an out for the Republicans or somebody who is anti-abortion to get it on through. And I believe that's probably the keyhole that they need to go through. If they can prove that it's a living being. Look, anybody with half a brain and one eye understands if you'll let the baby live to fruition, it'll be, it's a live baby. It's growing the whole time. Give me a break. That is the silliest thing I've ever heard of. A baby is not a human being. Come on now. What's it going to grow up to be, a soybean? Give me a break. All right, anyone else? I think Denny's fixing to impart some wisdom. No? Okay. There was your chance, Denny. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, I think they need to put that as an up and down vote for the people, not for the politicians.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, and then they, not only just for country, they can do it for state, they can do it for county. They can have areas that people don't want that in their area and vote it down. And then the people that do, then you can start separating, have separations right there. And let God judge the areas that are bad. You know, just like they did in Egypt. Separate Goshen from the rest of Egypt. And make it easy for God to start doing his work that way. That's just a quick thought, you know. You muted, Mike.
Well, y'all missed it. I just forgot what I was saying.
The finger was up. It must have been good.
It was good, man. It was good. No, what I was saying was the first abortion clinic that has an abortion after the child is born or even partial, somebody ought to be standing there with a subpoena indictment for murder right then. Just, this is yours. We're gonna try you for murder. Yeah, Leon.
I think that Trump ought to arrest all of the legislators that passed those bills for murder, because they're the ones that are doing it.
Yeah, I agree. That's just silliness.
What did you go on, Don? Gov.org or something like that?
White House.
Whitehouse.org. Let's go on, yeah. Whitehouse.org.
Gov.gov.
For Trump to arrest all the legislators for murder.
Yeah, I left that subject thinking that she's a mole.
Be quiet, Don. Trump will hear you. You'll be on his list.
Can I say something real fast?
No. Just kidding.
Okay, Sharon. I won't. I'll shut up.
No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead, girl.
No, I was thinking this pretty much the same way Leon was thinking. Murder. These people need to be charged with murder. But now they're doing abortions, full born, 9 months old abortions. When they come out alive, they stick this rot in their brain. That's out of hand. That is really out of hand. You know, and I've been praying about it. A lot of people need to start praying about this, because 3 states already legalized it. And they said that they're going to keep Trump all the way up against, because it's going to keep going down the line. So I heard.
You're on mute, aren't you?
Amen. We're praying. We've been praying.
Oh, that's okay.
All right, Sue. I guess that's you I'm hearing.
Yeah, I think Leon was saying about how the ones that passed that law, they ought to be an accomplice to murder. You know, they're right there. Mm-hmm. They're making it happen, so they should be charged for being an accomplice.
Amen. I believe it. I think I'll just take them out and shoot them. Yep. Ask if they want to come to Jesus first. All right, anybody else? Anybody got any other prayer requests or would like to pray about something? I want to lift up Katie again. I don't know if I don't know if we prayed for her on the outreach. We got a young lady, 18, and she's been having trouble with demons manifesting because of some things that she's gone through. Lord, I just thank you that you are delivering her. Right now, I take authority over all of those demons. And I bind you and I throw you off of her right now. I loose you from her in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you that you're cleansing her from all of that mess. She hadn't slept much in the last few days, Lord. I don't know what. I ask, Lord, if there's a root to the cause of this, that you would get to it, bring it out, and show her, and let her repent, and let's get rid of these things in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you that Katie is delivered, healed, and set free by the blood of Jesus. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Sue.
I would like to pray for my granddaughter. She's going to be going. There's going to be a court case coming up on Thursday. And there's been some activity, demonic activity that she's been operating out of. I want to come against that and that there we would all agree. Lord, I just lift up Victoria to you, Lord. She's only 8 years old and the enemy, the demons have been bothering her and using her against herself and others in that household. I just pray against it in the name of Jesus. I tell those demons they have to cease their activities on her. They're not to use her anymore against herself or others. I am tired of those demons affecting her. I even come against that evil spirit of all those generational curses that want to cause problems on her that came not just from her mother, but from her father too. And I break the power of those curses, those generational curses. And I pray, Father, that you just deliver her from every evil work that the enemy's trying to do and cause trouble with. And Father, I thank you, Father, that she knows that you love her and that she is loved by Bill and Lisa, who are not even her parents, that she knows that they love her and they want to help her. And just pray that you would keep her turning to you, Lord. She's only 8, but Lord, I know that you can come to her and you can show her and you can even give her visions and dreams to bring her into you more in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Boy, it's been a while since we've seen that girl.
I know.
Be happy to see her.
Well,
praise God.
That's up to the Lord. I'm waiting on him.
Oh, I thought you said she was coming up or coming down.
No, she's going to have there's a court case and she's been having a lot of the demonic activity coming from her, and it's been hard on Bill and Lisa, and so I just found that out, you know, that they've been dealing with some demonic activity, but I don't know if they come against it or not, because you know they're under the jurisdiction of the court, and the court doesn't believe in spanking, and so they're not allowed to spank. And you know, and I don't know how much they know about casting out demons or anything like that either. So I'm going to try to see if there's some information I can give to them to help them with that.
What did her mama think when you took her home the last time you were down here, that she was down here?
What did my mom, her mama think?
Her mother.
She was okay with it. I think what the problem is, there's a lot of what I recognized when I was there was a lot of demonic activity in her husband, because there's times where I came against those demons and I said they're not allowed in the house, and two different times he went out and slept in his truck.
Amen.
For no reason. You know, I mean, I thought maybe she had an argument with him or so, you know, maybe they had a fight or something, and And I said, why is Bernie out there in the truck? She said, I don't know. So, you know, I dealt with that, and it's like, this was in my house. I had to fight against the enemy all the time. And I didn't know what to do. But I know the Lord brought me down here to learn.
Amen. Amen. Now you know.
Yep.
If you ever come down here, she'll get, but it's we got to get to the root of the cause. Go ahead, Leah.
Well, Lord, since there's no one there to take authority over those demons, we take the authority over those demons, and we cast them out in the name of Jesus. They got to go. Whatever the type of demon it is, Lord God, whatever type it is, it has to go in the name of Jesus. And if there's more than one, they all have to go.
Amen.
And we release that girl in the name of Jesus. We bind the demons and cast them out. And Lord, she is free of those demons. In Amen. The name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And Lord, we just pray. Are we still on?
Yeah, we're on.
We pray that you would be able to get her to be able to get in the word, so that instead of that, when the house is clean, we don't want the enemies to come back in. So Lord, we just pray that you would bring her into your truth and your life, Lord, that she would get something out of your word, and gain you and instead of any more demons, in Jesus' name.
Amen. That's true. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd just like to add, Lord, also, I just ask that you would give Sue wisdom and that she knows this girl, that you would give her wisdom to see the stronghold, to see the standing place, or the place of manipulation, the place of position that any of these demonic spirits take in this girl's life. And Lord, that you would give Sue wisdom to see, whether it be a dream or a vision or whatever, that she would see clearly where to take the ground down, where to reveal the ground, expose the ground, remove the ground. And Lord, just give her wisdom. We thank you for that. Thank you for your spirit, Lord, the Holy Spirit you've given to guide us into all truth. And we just thank you for it. We thank you for your victory in this situation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's Sue's granddaughter.
There is that book from Frank Hammond. It's called Pigs in a Powder. I was trying to find mine. I couldn't find it. But that's pretty good on spiritual warfare, getting people informed on it, and takes them through a lot of things. You know, gets them kind of on a path of understanding what they're dealing with a little bit.
Yep, that's a good one. I like it. We also have one here. We just started publishing not too long ago, Delivered from Dark Powers. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Joe.
Yes. Who's me now? Okay. I would like to have more prayers. Pardon?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, I'd like to have more prayers said for me about the condition that most of you know about, when I took myself off all two different prescription pain medications. Because when I was talking to Leon, he said he will be back. And the other night he was back. And I'm also having like 2 hours sleep, and that's it a night. I rebuke him and I cast him down and all that. But I would like everybody to come into agreement, because when one or more gather, you know, it works. And that's it.
Okay. In the name of Jesus, right now, is it pain you're talking about now?
It's, well, my body's going from taking myself off and going through heavy withdrawals for 3.5, almost four weeks. My body's way off. It moves the chemical. I'm a licensed certified therapist, so drug alcohol therapist. So what it does is your mind, your brain, it alters your brain, and then also your body when you put so much on it, like I did, without being lowered from a doctor who wouldn't lower me, your body doesn't even know where it's supposed to be at. It's all out of whack.
Jesus does. Amen. Jesus does. In the name of Jesus right now, we command those withdrawal symptoms to leave her. Lord, I can remember when I came off some stuff one time, back medicine. It was a fluke deal. But anyway, the doctor told me it's going to take me 6 weeks to get off of it. I said, no, Jesus is going to, or 3 weeks. He said, no. I said, it's not going to take me long at all because Jesus is going to get me off of it. And I took him cold turkey, got off cold turkey and told the Lord it was up to him now to help me out. And 3 days later, I was over it. So, Lord, I just ask you to do the same thing for Sharon right now. And I command that all the symptoms of withdrawal to cease in her body right now in the name of Jesus. I command that body to straighten up, slow down, and be normal in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, I thank you that we're going to get the good report from Sharon in Jesus' name. We command those demons that try to come back on her to go right now in the name of Jesus. You go and don't come back in the name of Jesus. We command every demon that's trying to torment her to keep her from sleeping to leave in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for that fire that's around her, the Holy Ghost fire that's around her, that tonight we declare and decree she's going to get a good night's sleep. Wake up refreshed in the morning and be on fire for you, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Amen. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jesus. Pigs in the parlor. Yeah, I got one too. I think everybody just about had one of them when they was real popular. They're still popular. Good gracious.
It was my first guide into the spiritual world when actually I got to heard about it when I came on UBM. It was like, oh, it's had a lot to it. It was a good book.
Yep, it is.
Hey, we prayed last week that I wouldn't lose power, and we didn't lose power.
Okay.
So the surrounding area did out in the outskirts, but,
Praise God.
The whole time I was here, yeah. And it could have been bad. It really could have been. It was all there, the potential. But the Lord took care of it. You know, just before we had a freezing rain, and it came through, and there's a lot of trees down, a lot of branches, you know, and even one of my trees in the back. Hopefully a few more branches will fall out that are broken.
Yeah.
But just before it rained again more, but it warmed up when it rained. It got into the 40s and it was raining. And then it was going to go back down in the, you know, the single digits that night. And it was like, oh my gosh, this is a terrible, it's the combination that's going to be a disaster of all this rainwater. But the Lord sent wind in and it blew everything off and dried everything off so that when the cold came in, there was no more, there's no water on the trees or anything else or on the lines. So everything just got cold and everything was dry. So that's what he did to the counter that when we prayed.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your wind, for your Holy Spirit that comes flying in there. Glory of God. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, Barbara. All right. Anybody else? Got a prayer request or a praise report or a comment. Okay, go ahead, Marilyn.
Well, I have a praise report kind of along the lines as David. We didn't have any winter until February. And the last few weeks, it has been really cold. And from, I think, Friday night until Monday evening, we got close to 2 feet of snow. And, you know, some winters we don't even have any snow here in the Pacific Northwest. So anyway, I've been praying, asking the Lord to, you know, stop the snow and everything. And anyway, today we were supposed to get another 5 to 8 inches. And I tell you what, we didn't get any here. It was all around us. It was, we were just like a tiny little spot in the radar. You could see it, our little area. We were clear. You could even see the sun trying to come through the clouds a little bit, but all around us, it was snowing. And so I praise the Lord for that. I'm really, really thankful.
That's cool. Amen.
That's cool. That is good. I can't tell you how many times David and I have done the same thing. In fact, when the snow was on the way, the kids all call us, tell us to quit praying. They do. They'll call us. Lexi, of course, she'll be one of the first ones. Y'all quit praying up there. We want it to snow.
Where do you live to get that much snow? That's 2 feet. That's a lot of snow.
You know the answer,
didn't you? We're in the south central part of Washington State, just above Oregon, near the Columbia River Gorge, if you're familiar with that area.
Okay. Yeah, you guys get a dump done to get 2 feet in a short period of time.
Yeah, it just didn't stop.
Wow.
You can tell by his accent he's from South Washington.
Yeah, South Washington.
Amen. Go ahead, Leon.
Yeah, I remember I was in Fayetteville, Tennessee, and I was reading in Isaiah, and it said that I can't remember the exact verse, but it said that I make it rain on one city and not on another. And I just happened to be watching the Weather Channel that night, and rain came through, it came to Fayetteville, and the clouds split, went around it, and then on the other side of Fayetteville, it went back together and then continued on. And it just fit that verse so perfectly, that what God was saying, he was showing me that, yeah, I do that, Leon, I do that. So the fact that you didn't get any snow today, or whenever it was, I believe it, you know, because it happened. And like Michael said, we pray it down all the time. Okay, I'm good.
Yeah. God is good. Okay, anyone else?
Judy's turn.
Judy?
Judy's turn.
All right, go ahead.
Somebody else?
You may speak.
Okay. Oh, I will. This just happened. This is so awesome. It's a little thing, but it's a big thing to somebody else. Well, I wanted to tell you that my daughter was all freaked out because her little cat was outside in the cold weather. She called and called. It's been 2 hours, you know, and I really didn't want to pray about the cat but I did. I just told the Lord to please. She was going to the Dollar General, and I said, Lord, please, when she gets back from Dollar General, let that cat show up. I mean, I thought, oh, well, I might as well, because she loved the cat. But she just texts me, and she says, oh, the cat just showed up. I just got back, and it showed up. So I thank you, Lord, that that's something that she's going to see, because earlier today I've been talking to her about praying for things, praying for everything, you know. So it's something that she can relate to and she can see. So I think that's neat that God did something that she can see.
Yeah.
So I thank you, Lord, for that answered prayer. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. It doesn't sound like you're too fond of the cat.
Well, they got enough.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm with you, Judy. Okay. Anybody else? I have for y'all for your enjoyment tonight. A little thing by Derek Prince that I listened to this afternoon, and let's see if I can get this on here, and we'll listen to it. It's very good.
If you've made your mind up to love, nobody can stop you. They can say all sorts of hard things about you. They can treat you in a very mean, miserable way. But they cannot stop you loving. Is that right? Nobody can stop you. The perfect example of that is Jesus. They did everything to him. They beat him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They gave him vinegar to drink. They beat him. They abused him. They reviled him. They pierced his hands and his feet. But one thing they could not do was what? They could not stop him loving. He loved them to the end. You see, if you love with that kind of love, nobody can stop you. It's the perfect law of liberty. You are the only really free person on earth, because nobody can stop you doing what you want to do. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, I'm impressed when I think about it. Nobody can stop you. That's why it's called the perfect law of liberty. I share something which God sometimes impels me to share. It's very difficult to share. Very painful. But after my after God called my wife Ruth home to himself, I went through a time of deep grief. But I learned how much people loved me. It was a revelation. I got letters from many different parts of the world, people from different races, different denominational backgrounds, comforting me, assuring me of their love and their prayers. I never knew there was so much love in the world till that happened. I didn't know that so many people loved me, and I'm sure I'm not an easy person to love. After all, persevere, and you can achieve it. But I got one letter from a lady I don't even remember her name. And she directed me to Psalm 84, verse 6. It says in verse 5, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage." In other words, he has no permanent residence in this world. He's on a pilgrimage from one world to another. And then it says about these people, and this is the verse the lady quoted to me. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. Now you need to know that Baca is the Hebrew word for weeping. You can't understand that psalm unless you know that. So as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. And what this lady said to me was this: you may have to pass through the valley of weeping, but you don't have to stay there. And that in that impacted me so deeply that I couldn't read any further. For 1 hour, I just sat and gazed at that verse. And God did something. It says as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring or a fountain. And at that moment, God opened a fountain inside me. Something I've been a Christian nearly 60 years, speaking in tongues and doing all those things. But there's something completely new happened in me. A spring, a fountain, was opened inside me. And it was a fountain of compassion. And it was unlike anything I've ever experienced before. I've known the love of God. I've loved many people. I've certainly loved my wives and my family. But this was something not from Derek Prince. It has another source. It was a spring. It was a fountain. And it was compassion. And I had never experienced anything exactly like it before. And I began to understand what it means when it says Jesus was moved with compassion. And I realized God was sharing his compassion with me. Love is not a choice. It's a commandment. Jesus said, I'm not giving you a recommendation. I'm not making a suggestion. I'm giving you a commandment. Love one another. How are we to love one another? The same way that Jesus loved us. That is an unselfish, self-giving, seeking first the good of others. Jesus said, if you will have that kind of love, the whole world will sit up and take notice. Because they don't see it. They don't see it anywhere. What they see is selfishness, self-seeking, grabbing. You can revolutionize a whole situation by demonstrating the love of God. But bear in mind, it's not an option. It's not a recommendation. It's not a suggestion. It is a commandment. That's right. And so if we don't do it, what are we? In one simple word, we're disobedient. That's right. So we have two options. We can either love one another the way Jesus loved us and be obedient, or we can fail to love one another and be disobedient. But remember, this is not a suggestion. It's not a recommendation. Jesus said very clearly and precisely, it is a commandment. But God has given me a supernatural concern for orphans, widows, the poor, and the oppressed. I mean, by the grace and mercy of God, I'm the head of a family of 12 adopted children. So it's not that I've never done anything for them. But I have seen with a new intensity. I don't want to preach Sunday night's message tonight, this morning. But I've seen that's what God is looking for. We can talk as much as we like about faith and righteousness, but if we do nothing for the people who really need us, we're just using empty words. And there's no shortage of people who need us. That's one thing we cannot complain about. They're not far from any of you. There are people who desperately need to be loved. They're lonely. They're not cared for. They have no answers. They're desperate. And you don't have to walk far from where you live to find people like that. I'll talk to you. If God wills and we live, I'll talk to you on Sunday night about that. But I've come to see that this is the, what would I say? It's the purpose of God. It's what God is waiting for. I was preaching, even before I had this experience, I was preaching in the state of Virginia to a group of black brothers. And at the end of the message, a young black man came up to me and he said, Brother Prince, would you pray for me? I said, what do you want? He said, that I may speak to people with the same compassion that you have. I looked at him for a moment. I said, there's a price to pay. Because I knew I was paying the price. He was silent for a few minutes. Then he said, I want it anyhow. And I prayed for him. I don't doubt that God's hand is on that young man's life. I want it anyhow, no matter what it costs. Do you feel that way this morning? There's this fountain that God sovereignly will open up in you. It's not under your control. You don't decide when it will happen. You see, there's some things that don't come without suffering. I've always been amazed at Paul's prayer in Philippians chapter 3, that I may know him, Jesus. That's wonderful. We all say the amen to that. And the power of his resurrection. Well, we all say that. But the next verse, and the fellowship of his sufferings. And many, many times I said to the Lord, as I read that verse, Lord, I don't know that I can really say that. Do I really want to know the fellowship of your suffering? I'm an honest person. I think that's perhaps one of the basic benefits of God's dealing with me. I am honest to myself. I'm honest to others. I said, Lord, many times I'm really not sure I can say that I want to know the fellowship of your sufferings. And the Lord is very patient with me. He didn't pressure me. But you see, I've come to see that some things only come by suffering. Suffering does something that nothing else will do. It prepares the soil for that fountain. Then you see, I realize that things come that way that cannot come any other way. I've said for many years, God is a self-revealing God. He loves to reveal himself. He loves to share himself. But I've realized lately through what I've been through that God has a deeper desire than that. He wants us to share what he goes through, to share his experiences with him. And when you go through the valley, you're sharing something very precious, very wonderful. You'll come closer to the Lord than you've ever been. That's what God wants. He's not interested in us suffering, but he's interested in sharing his sufferings with us. I'm not talking about the sufferings of Jesus on the cross. Those were unique. Only he could do that. But I'm talking about the sufferings of Jesus for the church. Don't you think that Jesus is grieved sometimes by the way the church acts and behaves? We can be critical, we can accuse, we can point, and believe me, nobody could do that more effectively than I can. But that's not what God is waiting for. He's waiting, will you share my deep concern for my bride, for the one I love so much? Can I share some of my sufferings with you? That's really when you're getting into deep water at that point. I have never been a superficial person. I'm tired of superficiality. I'm tired of empty religion. I'm tired of empty confessions, which are made to get something out of God, but we're never expected to fulfill them. I really believe God has sent me here at this time to confront you people with a decision. How shall I express the decision? Lord, no matter what it takes, open that fountain in me. I don't want to be superficial. I don't want to be just a churchgoer. Lord, I want to bring joy to your heart. I want you to be satisfied with me, not with what I do, but with me. I want to share fellowship with you in the deep places. When the Spirit of God moves, it's the humble that get blessed. It's the people that have no claims, no pride, no self-righteousness. Lord, here I am. I'm just a pool. Fill me.
Okay. What y'all think of that? How many of you are willing to sacrifice all? You know, that's what he's talking about. Sacrifice all. Give it up. Go ahead, Joe.
Now that I think about it, I've actually experienced that before. You know, I mean, I could give a little bit, I guess, a little bit of insight about it. I mean, what Derek Prince said was true. You know, I think I prayed before last year, Lord, get me back to that time where, you know, there was that deep level of intimacy I had. And I don't know if, I mean, anybody even remembers me praying that, but it's at that time I experienced that. I think what he said, you know, God shares his heart with you. And I've heard others say, there's like a street preacher who I've come in contact with on YouTube. He said, you know, one time I think it was just instantaneously that I think he prayed, God, you know, share your heart with me for this lost world. You know, I want to know how you feel. And he said he was like walking down the stairs at his home and it just instantly hit him and he began to just weep, you know, uncontrollably weep because, you know, he felt God's heart. You know, this heartbrokenness, just this brokenness, you know, over the lost world out there. And as Derek said, you know, for the church, I mean, I'm sure it's the same exact way, you know, he's broken. But I think for me at that time when I was, I mean, as he spoke through suffering, yeah, I was going through a lot of suffering. I mean, God brought me to that point. I mean, of just pure brokenness, but I mean, through all that suffering, there were times where, I mean, he would share it. I didn't really ask for it, you know, but I guess there was that level of intimacy where he kind of brought it to you. I felt that compassion. You know, I had no idea of love. I didn't even understand it. I mean, I still struggle with certain, you know, aspects of it, but he brought that, just that love and that compassion. And I could hear, you know, in Derek's voice, just that, you know, he's choking up and, you know, I mean, almost weeping as he's speaking. It's just this love that comes over you. It's God's heart. You know, those things, you feel that brokenness, you know, you feel that love and that compassion for others, you know, and in this case for me, just that lost world out there, you know, you really feel his heart. And yeah, I mean, it's, you can't, you know, just speak straight, you know, you choke up and you begin to tear up, but just because you really feel his heart. You begin to understand he gives you a bit of it and you experience how he feels, you know, and it is quite powerful. So, you know.
Okay. Anybody else? Go ahead, Dave.
I think I shared with you the little thing about Fred Rogers or Mr. Rogers?
Yeah. No, I haven't shared any of it. Go ahead.
No, I just briefly, it was a documentary made about him. Is about Will You Be My Neighbor? And I didn't have a lot of knowledge about Fred Rogers or Mr. Rogers. I just knew he had a television program. But I didn't realize after I watched the documentary, and I was just really touched by his life, that his whole life, you know, he grew up and he was one of these heavier childs and had some sicknesses growing up. So he had to be bedridden for a little while. And so he had to create his own little world under the bed and have his own little playtime imagination thing going. So he got to get his imagination active and have a little environment there he got going. And also because he was a heavier child, he really wasn't well-liked, so he was bullied, and he knows what that was all about, to feel not liked, not rejected, and actually had been chased by bullies and threatened and all that stuff. So he had that anger built up, but he grew up in a family that was, they didn't allow those expressions. You couldn't, you know, you had to control, and you couldn't voice that. So he had to learn how to deal with anger issues and how to work that out in his life. And eventually he went into college, and he became actually a ordained minister through the Presbyterian Church. Not that that's an issue there, but I'm just showing his background. But he found an avenue that was needed, and that was with television. And he got started with that just out of sheer hoax, because he's seen what they were doing on children's programs, because he had a heart for children. And that back then they were doing slapstick stuff and throwing pies in people's faces. And he said, that's no way to treat a child. That's no way to treat people. It's inhuman. It's no dignity to that. So his whole purpose in starting Wouldn't You Like to Be My Neighbor in that show was to show dignity with human beings and also present a love to individuals, because that was his whole point of ministry and life, was to love people. And so, interesting enough, his weight was 143 his whole adult life, and he associated that with one, meaning I, four, the letter four, or four-letter word meaning love, and three, you. I love you. That was 143. That's what he associated with. And that was the number he had on a mailbox on his show, 143. I love you. And he'd always tell the children whenever he got on there, he says, I love you just the way you are. Very comforting. And not only would he have that in his show, he'd also script things in his show for dealing with issues in life, for children to understand when mom and dad got a divorce. He would bring these topics up, but he would bring it into a level that he could work with, and with different puppets and stuff. And then he got real mad when they started doing these Superman shows and kids were putting capes on and jumping off roofs and breaking their bones and getting hurt, and even worse, some dying. And he was so offended that they would do this to the children that he had a show on it and had this one of his puppets actually try to jump out of the window, and it caught him just in time. He says, what are you trying to do? And you can't fly. Just to associate with children reality of life, you know, to bring them into touch with what they're seeing is not real, and reason through things. And not only would he do that, he'd have quiet time too during that time. He said sometimes he would mention something and he'd give 10 seconds or longer between his next conversation to come out to let people have a chance to put things together. It wasn't all this quick rush at stuff and get things done like the world is at a fast pace. It was slowing things down, letting children rationalize, let them fantasize things. He'd do skits and he wouldn't even say a word for minutes, and they let the kid just sit there and focus and imagine, let that world come alive. And he said there's so many people had such a positive experience from Fred Rogers. Their one kid made a story about a sentence, or told about, well, he used to watch it as a kid, and he said when he'd wake up in the morning and watch the show, then go off to school, he says he just knew that everything was going to be a good day. It was just going to be things were okay in the world after he got done watching the show, because that was his message. His message was about love. It was not necessarily preaching the gospel, but it was living the gospel. He lived it. That was his life, and that was the way he was outside of life. Whenever you talked about all the cast people, he said, that was Fred Rogers. Everything you saw on the show is what he was about. That was who he was. He loved everybody. One of his characters, the cast members there, was gay. He told the guy over time, he became a surrogate father to this guy, and he mentored him through a lot of things. And it was the last few years of his life, you know, Fred was talking to him, and they would do these skits, and he finally realized, hey, he's talking to me. He says, Fred, you're talking to me? He says, yeah, I've been talking to you for 2 years straight. I've been waiting for you to realize that. I've been telling you, I love you. And it's just, so if we look at how we can affect people's lives with the love thing, it's just acting out and being it. You know, it's the opportunity of the people that are around us. And then it's not like trying to go and win the whole world over, but it's actually just being who you can be and allowing the Lord to work through our life and finding what may be hindering those that walk. Like, I'm looking at my life and thinking, hey, we all could like to be like a little more like Fred Rogers in a lot of ways. What's holding us back, you know? Where maybe might be something in us that's not allowing us to love the way we like to love others. So that it was one of his models was in Would You Be My Neighbor? Was all about you are loved and you have the ability to love others. That's what it means to be a neighbor. You are loved and you have the ability to love others too. That's the closeness of having a neighbor with you. That's the best you can be with your neighbors. You can love him. And your neighbor can be anybody around you. And if you love them, they're going to love you back. People are going to love you also. That was the whole premise of his understanding the world was love is shared and it comes back. It always comes back. So just thought I'd share that real quick.
Well, thank you, Dave. That was real good. I enjoyed that. Old Fred Rogers, yeah. My kids watched him. He wasn't known when I was a kid. We were watching TV by candlelight, you know. Anyway, anybody else?
I got a question, I guess.
Okay.
Just thinking about the times when Jesus was on the earth, and I wonder if we're not in unprecedented times of evil. It seems like, you know, the things he dealt with and the things that we read in the Bible, that it was sporadic and here or there. It wasn't an onslaught. And, you know, I guess it's nothing to fear. He provides where darkness abounds, grace does much more abound. But I think we need to pray more for darkness and the deep evil darkness to be exposed. There needs to be a lot of light coming on darkness, because darkness is having its way, and it's almost like generations of Christians and people are just being duped, and they have no idea of the organized evil that is just the machine that it's creating all over the world. And I think there's, you know, one or two, you know, one will chase 1,000 and 2, 10,000. I believe we got 25 people on here right now. We need to wreak havoc on the devil's kingdom every chance we get and start disrupting and confusing the enemy and setting them back. Their timeline, they can't just keep moving the way they want to move as long as we have the power and all authority that's been given to us. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we combine our faith, and I release my faith that evil is being exposed, that you've got very diligent, just tenacious Christians that are researching and following up and putting themselves in positions to go hard after the enemy. Whenever the enemy is even slightly exposed, that we will go for the jugular and knock them off their feet and throw the covers off and knock down walls and blow the lid off, and that the authorities will have no choice and the judges will have no choice and all of the levels of high power will have no choice but to prosecute the deep-seated, terrible crimes and evil that is being that is loose on the world. And Father, I thank you that people's eyes are going to be opened, that the enemy has overplayed his hand in so many ways, that your grace is going to be like lightning, just waking people up. It's going to shock them to scream out, what must I do to be saved? If that kind of evil is on the planet, where is a safe haven? Where is the strong tower? And Father, I ask you to let your people study your word even more to have the right answer and to not fall into folly, but to be life and death serious about helping people know where the true power is, so that they'll have the right answer when people are desperate. And Father, I just thank you for preparing our hearts, even for that martyr's crown, that we would not be afraid to put our puny little physical lives in danger for your glory. And Father, that we would share in everything that you've got for us, and that we would bring glory to our King Jesus, and that we would align behind the captain of our salvation to take this to the very end, exactly the way that he wants to see everything done, and that he is going to share everything with us, and we're going to be so pleased to be in the battle with our King. And I just thank you, Lord, that you are flooding the earth with light, that darkness, the day of darkness is over, that we are going to have at least 3.5 years of just tearing the enemy's tail up. And I just thank you, Lord, that there's nothing the enemy can do about it. And we will not fear, that we will not let a lie of the enemy prevail over our strong military mind, Lord, that we will go for it, and we will run the race, and we will get everything God's got for us, in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord, I hooked my faith up with George, and I believe that everything that he's praying is going to happen and has already happened. Lord, we thank you for sending forth your angels right now to do the work in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, praise you, Father. All right. Anyone else?
I have something I could say.
Oh, go ahead, Don. Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Derek, at the beginning of what he had to say, was talking about not being fearful about things. And this last summer, I had an experience with these Asian hornets I'd never heard of before. They're about as their body's about as thick as my finger. I didn't know what they were for a while. And I did some research and found that the sting is so painful, it also can hurt your bones. Well, eventually, Brandy came over, and at about 30 feet, he had a huge can that he sprayed from about 30 feet away. And they hit him. All they did is make him mad. And they're around our house, especially on the deck side, on our windows, it looked like they're trying to get in. Well, eventually, I was talking to the owner, the landlord, and he gave me some gas, of all things, to throw at him. So I started I did that and kerosene, and I had my own spray cans. And my fear was so great, thinking about these guys, that it took me a while, months, to look back at it, to realize that all the time I was fighting them from my deck. I'd throw things at them, and they'd never come at me. They'd never go past the rail. Now, that's got to be of God. So that's something that's taken me a few months to realize. And since then, a number of times I've run across that verse about sleeping in the woods. Isn't there something that, is that in that song that Lakeisha sings? So that verse has been going through my mind quite a bit over the last few weeks. You can sleep in the woods and nothing's going to bother you, hurt you.
Amen. You can get fed by the squirrels too, can't you?
Yeah. And another thing, it was through Derek Prince that I came into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was just raised with some people that were just nuts, I thought. Pentecostals around that just turned me against it heavily, very prejudiced against it. And I was about a half a mile away down the hill when he came to town, where I was running a Christian bookstore. And he was speaking up at the university field house, not field house, student center, where they have a grand ballroom. And I could just feel the power from him. And I heard what he was. He came from a line of generals, that's what I was told. And that broke through something on me. I just could feel that power coming from that grand ballroom a half a mile away. Took me a while, but it took me about 6 months before I finally got the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Well, praise God, you did, huh?
Amen.
It took Derek Prince, an Englishman, to teach you how to do it, huh?
Merlene was up there at that meeting. She talks about it every now and then. That's a powerful meeting up there.
Yeah.
She said she walked in and people were singing in the spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for good Holy Ghost filled preachers.
Listening to him tonight, he's so different, it seemed like, from those earlier days of what seemed to me like a general. You know, he's been through a lot of things, especially he was talking about his wife dying. That really struck me, what he had to say at that time.
Yeah, he's a good preacher. I enjoyed it myself. All right, everybody in. Yeah. Another good one is David Wilkerson. Somebody, who was it? It was Eve, I think, put one on the blog the other day from David Wilkerson. I You remember what the name of it was, Leon or Don?
What was it about?
Well, that's what I'm asking you.
Well, there was a number. There's two or three of them, wasn't there?
No, it was just one that Eve had put on there.
Oh.
It was after the, it was before we went on the sequester. And I think that's what it was about. I think David Wilkerson was talking about getting alone with God. And it was a pretty powerful message that he had. It wasn't very long, but it was pretty powerful.
Yeah, he talked about, Wilkerson talked about being patient and hanging in there. And the temptation is to stop praying and not really, I can't remember the exact kind of language he used, but being patient and breaking through to God in a new way, or
amen. Monroe, go ahead, Pat. Let me read this first. Monroe wants us to pray with him. He says, please pray with me for fellow homeschoolers whose son has been diagnosed with leukemia. They have opted to go to the doctors for help. I pray that God will change their minds and that they will believe God for Ashton's complete healing. Ashton is 10, and he has a little sister, Ella, that was fine at birth but was brain damaged by neglect of the hospital staff. They are also following a very public pursuit of medical healing for her. I pray that God will show them the truth of salvation. Okay, we'll do it, Monroe. And Lord, we just thank you that you're going to open up these people's minds and their spiritual eyes and their spiritual hearing to hear the whole gospel. And the gospel is not with doctors, it's with you. And Lord, I thank you for that. Now I'm going to pray for little, let's see what his name, little Ashton. And I command that spirit of leukemia off of him right now in the name of Jesus. And I command the fear out of mom and dad to go in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that the little daughter, Ella, I command her brain to be normal in the name of Jesus, and everything about her be normal in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that you're going to open up minds, the eyes of Ella and Ashton's mom and dad to trust you, Lord, for their healing rather than the doctors. That's the third leading cause of death in the United States is misdiagnosed doctors. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to do this for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, anyone else? Somebody had raised their hands there. Is that you, Leon? There's Leon. I'll come back, Marilyn. I'll get you in a minute.
Well, I was just going to say that right there, your prayer right there, was a show of love. That's the kind of stuff that Derek Prince was talking about. See, you don't care who's in need. You don't care anything about their color or their religion or any of that stuff. But you are full of the love of Christ, and you just take it upon yourself to help them. And that's an awesome display of love as well. So,
thank you. Amen. All right. Go ahead, Marilyn.
Are we unmuted? Okay. All right. I just wanted to add. Okay. I wanted to add to your prayer for Ashton and Ella's parents. Father, I pray that you would draw them to you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would enlighten the eyes of their understanding. Lord, that you would grant unto them the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation of the true knowledge of Christ and the true gospel, that you would even give them eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to believe fully in Christ Jesus. And Lord, I pray, cast down any spirits of bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness, anger and frustration that may be there with the parents, especially over Ella, believing that she was neglected in the hospital, any of these wrong feelings and spirits that may be affecting them, and even bringing judgment into their family. Lord, if that is what's going on, I pray that you would reveal that to them and allow them to repent and fully forgive any of the staff there, any of the medical staff. I know that they're pursuing the medical staff for healing, but I just sense that there's also some other things, some real darkness there associated with that and wrong feelings that would hinder healing for both Ella and Ashton. So, Father, we lift that up to you in Jesus' holy and blessed name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I hook my faith up with Marilyn Berry, and I believe it, Lord. I believe it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay, somebody else says, is that you, Patrick? Go ahead, brother.
Are you talking to me?
Your name, Pat?
It is Pat.
Okay.
Not Patrick, but Pat.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
When I hear Patrick, I think I'm getting in trouble.
Okay, go ahead, brother.
Yes, I agree with Marilyn's prayer as well. Just thank you, Lord. I praise you for the work that you're doing. I thank you for the circumstances that you take us through, Lord, to reveal these things to us. So I just pray that you would enliven their hearts, open up their eyes, give them wisdom to discern your hand in their life, put their confidence and trust in you, leading them through this valley, Lord, of the shadow of death, but they will fear no evil, for you are with them through this process. And I thank you for that. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. I was thinking about Derek's prayer. It was, well, his experience. And I know I mentioned it in our meeting last week or something, just that kind of that tendency to think things through and analyze things and go through certain mental machinations to try to figure things out and always looking for a cause and effect type of thing. And getting stuck in that trap sometimes. And Derek's example there, it just showed from his heart that God took him through a process that took him beyond his logistics, mental logistics, and broke down something in him and left him in a place of vulnerability before God. And I speak this because I've experienced the exact same thing. And it just hit me that his testimony and his ministering in that time through that video, at least in that time, where he was ministering the experience of what he felt, what he experienced through that, and the result of that experience, that no amount of describing or analyzing or being able to lay certain words in a line and create a storyline and tell a nice story or whatever. It was beyond that. It was deeper than that. It was coming out of his heart that God broke and I suspect that in that time, in his experience, that he probably had something in him die with his wife, something in his mental logistics or whatever it is, something in his psyche that died, and God replaced it with a tender heart of compassion. Because he could feel now, maybe for a new experience, he could now feel what God feels about those that are experiencing that condition or that situation or whatever. Now he not only could teach people certain scriptures and lead them through certain things, but he had the heart that he could feel and cry and experience that pain. When it came back, when he was able to minister what he felt and with that compassion. And that really touched me. It was a good message. It's like the gospel and the truth broke down and impregnated into his heart and was pouring out now of his spirit to meet the condition or the need of the hour. Incidentally, I think that's what God feels now about his church, about his people that need to repent, need to see the brokenness of his heart, that that we need to come in alignment with that, or I need to come in alignment with that more and more. So I was touched about that, but anyway, that was all I had.
Yeah, I was too. It's something to reflect on in the next few days until we come back Thursday, is this compassion and this heart of love that God wants us to have like he had. I for one am going to do that. We're going to close out. We're out of time. Does anybody have any prayer needs before we go? Yeah, Joe.
Let's pray about that God would begin to share his heart with us so that we would better know how to pray, or just share his heart, that brokenness, as Derek felt, that we would experience it and understand how he feels about his church. So,
amen. Lord, I just ask and I pray right now that you place it in everyone's heart that's listening to me right now, to get alone with you and to share what we want, Lord. We want that heart of compassion. We want that heart of love that only sometimes that we go through these trials brings about. we desire, like that young man did, that asked him to pray for him, for that heart of compassion. And the question that he asked him, are you willing to pay the price? And Father, place it in our hearts to be willing to pay the price, to have that heart of compassion and to be able to speak compassionately to people. I ask and I pray, Father, that you do that for each and every one that wants that. Because I believe those that do will be brought as close to you as we can become here on this earth. And that's real close. That's right next to you. That's in your arms. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do that for those that are willing to pay the price, to absolutely surrender all to you, Lord. And I pray that in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for protecting all of us till we meet again Thursday night, giving us all good night's sleep. Give us dreams, Lord, of the things that we need to correct, or the encouragement that you can give us, Lord. And I thank you for that. And I thank you for all my brothers and sisters here, Lord. And I ask that you bless them mightily in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, all right. Good night, y'all. God bless you.
Amen.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody. God bless.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
See you guys later.
Good night, Denny.
Good night,
everybody.
Good night. Thank you, girl.
God bless you.
Good night, guys.
Good night, Leon.